Good morning, Trinity Youth. It is Monday, March 18th. This is Dave.
And Haley, and y'all today, we've got a special guest for you on the pod, a guy that you all know and love, one that we don't have to go too far to find. He works right in proximity to us. We get the deep pleasure of working with the one and only Maurice Massey.
Heyo.
Hey, hey. How's it going?
We're so glad that you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
It's so good to have you on with us again. You might just be, I think, our second time guest.
Oh,
I had to make sure I said that right. Second time guest. And Maurice, big question for you. Have you ever been told something that felt so unbelievable and then it actually turned out to be real?
Yeah. So, as you all may know, or you may not know if you don't know me, I attended a boarding school growing up. And I actually started to work at the boarding school years later.
So you straight up lived there?
I straight up lived there.
Sleep, wake up, go to school.
Sleep,
wake up.
I was a day student at the school, but I was around kids that were boarding all the time.
And this is a family thing too,
yeah,
right?
Family
thing. So it's like cousins, aunts, uncles, like grandparents.
Exactly. Yeah, family affair.
Yeah.
So fast forward after I graduated in 2010, 10 years later, I am working at the school. Right? So it's 2020, and I'm a teacher working with kids from all
over
the world.
What do people call you? Were you Mr. Massey? Mr.
Moe? You know what? My elementary kids called me Science Guy.
I did not know that.
I was Science Guy.
Adios, Bill Nye. There's a new Science Guy on the block.
Yeah, Science Guy. Actually, they printed out a t-shirt when I was leaving the school that has like Science Guy and... It has like their names on the background, on the back of it. No, my face isn't on it.
Why haven't we seen it?
I know.
You know, it's been special. I haven't worn it. I just have it on
the hyperbaric
frame
on the wall.
Yeah. I should wear it one day, though.
I mean, it'd be a deep joy. Wear it in keto when you're teaching science.
Make a t-shirt blanket out of that.
I will
do that. Haley loves t-shirt blankets.
No, I don't.
I know.
They're so not aesthetic.
So true.
But the memories. Okay.
I threw away childhood trophies. I don't give a rip. I'm like,
I'm learning to throw stuff out. Okay.
I'm learning from Haley.
You're in the boarding school where like you lived here anyway because your family's there. And people are actually coming from lots of different parts of the world.
Yeah, all over the world.
Which is so cool.
All over Europe, Africa, all the islands.
Yep.
Australia. Okay. Yeah. So every morning we would meet in the homeroom. The student body would meet in the homeroom. And if you know me, you know that I am sometimes fashionably late. Not too late, but fashionably late.
It's like a wizard. A wizard is never early nor late.
Exactly.
Arrives precisely when they mean to.
That's exactly.
Yeah, you don't walk in acting like you're late most of the time.
No.
You just kind of walk in.
You know, I like to be an unheard presence, you know? So I'm walking down the hallway and then I hear what sounds like a stampede coming down the hall. I'm like, wait, what is going on? And all of a sudden, I'm surrounded on both sides with students just like running past me. This is like the middle school and high school kids. And I was like, where are you guys going? And then one of them blurts out like, we're going to pack our bags. We're going home. And they're just like happy and cheering. And I'm like, well, it's March. I don't know why these kids would be going home so soon. Like,
yeah,
this can't
like
be
said
true.
Who? Told you that?
I was like, this is not true. Like, they're probably just going to clean up their dorm, something like that. I don't know. Then I head to the classroom, to the homeroom. I see the other teachers. I said, hey, like, what are the kids doing? I saw them running in the hallways. They were like, they're actually going home. And I asked them why. And apparently I had kind of been out of the loop, didn't realize that we were facing a pandemic.
How many weeks in were we when you realized?
That's right, March 2020. I did not connect
on
that.
Yeah, I connected, but I didn't know if it was pre or post.
Yeah, the day the kids left was... like 4 years ago to this very day. I just went back in my phone and saw pictures.
Wait, like today? The day we're recording?
Yeah, the 13th.
Okay.
March 13th.
Okay, yeah. So things were starting to shut down.
Uh-huh.
This is like the first
beginning.
We had like, I guess like the administrators knew, like felt like something was potentially going to get shut down
March,
or something.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I was chatting with people and I was like, ha ha ha, is it going to be like the flu?
Yeah.
Who knows? And I was like out at bowling with my friends and then
it
was not like the flu.
I'm kind of chuckling at people like running away from a virus.
Yeah.
Well, I think
I can get away from this thing.
I think they were like, we're going home.
Well, no, so they didn't want the kids to get stuck over if we were in a lockdown.
Oh my gosh, that's
so
true.
They
want kids
able
to get home.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I couldn't believe it at first and I realized that it was true. The kids would be going. So I haven't seen some of my students since 4 years ago to this very day.
Oh my gosh.
So kids that were like freshmen are in their senior years of high school. Other kids are in college.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had to face the reality. I didn't want to believe it was true because I did have some great things planned for my classes. I had projects and field trips planned. And that was all tossed out the window. I had to come up with a plan B.
The volcanoes were going to be science off the chart that year.
Oh, science guy moves to Zoom.
Yeah. Oh,
did you do Zoom school?
I couldn't do Zoom because kids were in different time zones.
Oh, no.
Whoa, no asynchronous learning.
Yeah.
So it just stopped.
No, I had to figure out like lesson plans and things like that, like for individual students, get that
off. Whoa.
So you sent them homework overseas?
I sure did.
Oh my gosh.
Good night.
International teacher right here.
And thank God for YouTube. I mean, the projects that we were going to do, some of them were on YouTube. So you just kind of have them watch it in.
Please tell me you have a YouTube science channel.
I do not, unfortunately.
we can fix that.
Unfortunately, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Goodness. Well, Maurice, I think that's a story we can all relate to, although I don't think our hearing of COVID was as traumatic as yours. Mine did not involve hundreds of kids running down a hallway. I don't know how many, but lots of kids running down a hallway.
Lots of kids.
Mine was like, I look at my phone and I was like, no way. So different.
Yeah.
Well, y'all, we are rapidly approaching Holy Week. It is next week. Lent has flown before our eyes, or maybe for some of you, it has sadly drug out and you're ready for the end of it. Who knows where you're at?
I'm ready for Easter. I'm ready for Easter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a good thing. But Jesus is getting really close to the cross, and as we've been following him on his journey, we are getting to the point where he is about to endure the last week before the cross. And so today we're going to look at the scripture when he starts letting his friends in on the reality, kind of telling them for the first time what's going to happen. And similarly to these stories, Maurice, like your story, they were in disbelief, and Jesus had a pretty intense response to that. So we're going to take a look at that today. Dave, would you want to read the scripture for us?
Absolutely. This is Matthew chapter 16, 21 through 23. This is right after Jesus looks to his disciples and says, "Who do you say that I am?" And they finally get to saying, "You're the Christ." So he's talking with Peter, who had said that, and Peter is still trying to figure out just what that means for Jesus. So here's a passage from Matthew 16. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turns to Peter and says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good job, Mo. It's like you work here.
Yeah.
Caught right on. Y'all, this moment, it's pretty emotional. It gets me emotional. It feels funny because Peter has the correct emotional response. If anyone I loved was like, "Yeah, I'm going to be killed," I'd be like, "Hold up," especially a good person.
Someone you love, yeah.
Yeah, someone you love. And so what do y'all think the reason Jesus responded this way was? Because it, again, like, was the response anybody with their emotional attunement would have? At least I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that perhaps Jesus was feeling multiple things, but one of them probably a little frustration, being that, like,
you love that emotions wheel. I can just see it come up.
Like, I'm getting some, my glossary.
You know? Yeah. But I would think, like, maybe a little bit of frustration. Like, he had already done so much with Peter and in front of Peter, like working miracles and even helping him in the time when he was sinking in the water, like all those things. And, like, Peter had seen Jesus do things that was already impossible. And I understand that this is a really big thing, but there's probably like a little bit of frustration. Like, you don't know who I am. Like, you don't recognize the power that I have right now. Probably a little bit of hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's interesting that Peter really only heard part of what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "I'm going to be killed, but then I'm going to be raised to life." And it's if he missed that part. Which, I mean, it's something we would all do. Like, we all want the happy ending, and we want to do it without going through the hard part. You know, but any movie you watch, you wouldn't watch a movie that was all happy the whole time. Those are, like, kid stories. Yeah. We only watch movies that have conflict in them. or else they're not interesting. And we watch these characters go through something hard and then come to the good end. But in our own lives, and I'm with you, like I'm with Peter, like I want to skip the hard part and get to the good part. And this, when I'm hearing this, this reminds me again of the actual Lent story from Matthew 4. You find it in a couple other places where Jesus is in the wilderness and he's being tempted. And I'm thinking particularly of when Jesus is talking to Satan, and Satan shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, all this can be yours. You can have everything. All you got to do, bow down to me. And Jesus says, no, like this is not, like you worship God alone. And Jesus knew that the path to get all that, he was going to get all that stuff. Jesus was going to get all of it, but he knew that there was a road he had to follow, and the road was going to be challenging, and there's no shortcut that he could get to and still actually get that thing. Because if he bows down to Satan, like it's all lost. Like everything is gone. Like he's sold out completely. And that temptation to the shortcut is always there to cut through the hard, the challenging part. Like we all, I mean, so much of social media right now is about like life hacks. It's like, how can you get the amazing result and do very little work to get there? So it kind of reminds me of that in our real world, in that story of Jesus in Lent. So Haley, what are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I follow a Reddit thread called like Life Hacks. It's really fun.
I mean, they are fun, but
I know. I'm just saying. I'm like, yeah. I definitely think about those often, but I don't know. I think I can relate to Peter because you hear something awful and you kind of black out the rest of the sentence. You know, like if it's like you hear something awful and then you're like,
Brain's off.
Nothing else. I'm focusing on like this thing. And they've never really seen someone do something like that before. And not that he has like disbelief, but it's like.
Let's be fair to Peter. Nobody has raised from the dead before at this point that they've seen.
Well, and then my thoughts go to the back half, right? Where it's like, get behind me, Satan. And we talked about this recently in small groups. I don't even know when, but one of my sixth grade girls was like, why would he call Peter Satan?
It's a really strong statement.
Yeah, like, dude, like, I've been with you this whole time. What you call me that for, you know?
It's intense.
What came to mind was I remember listening to a sermon, and they were asking, like, hey, who's good and who's evil? Like, they asked the pastor, whatever, some guy, and he's like, I think when you realize that the line between good and evil isn't between you and other people, but it's right down the middle of all of us.
Yeah, stop, slow down.
Did I say that really quickly?
Yeah, this is, yes, I want to make sure that we hear where that line is. Yeah, and this is what's his name? Alexander Shultz.
It's a really old guy.
He's a Russian author. He spent time in Russian prisons in his reflection. So say it again, Haley, because this is really powerful.
He said, the line between good and evil isn't between me and them. It's not in the middle of you and someone else, but it's right down the middle of all of us.
Yeah,
I like that.
And so with that, do I think Peter is Satan? No. Do I think that Peter didn't understand what was good and what was not the way of God in that moment? Yeah. But do I look at this and think, I'm probably just as capable? Yeah. Like, I think Peter was a really good guy who wanted to follow the heart of God, but in that moment didn't know what it was. And so we're all kind of capable not of being Satan, but of not always knowing what's good.
Yeah.
I think this is a moment of that. So that's what I thought of in the back half of this passage.
For sure. So in light of Lent, Jesus and the journey to the cross, and this comes home, right? He's predicting his own death and just how difficult to talk about something like that. What does this teach us about how we can also respond to hard things?
Yeah, I think naturally we can be tempted to take the path of least resistance, you know, looking for that path all the time. But knowing that God is greater than our circumstances and wants to walk with us through hard challenges and show himself strong is something that I've pretty much learned from this. We can face hard things knowing with confidence that Jesus would be with us, and that although we may not understand the outcome or like how the outcome will happen, Jesus is able to exceed all of our thoughts and our expectations, and we can come out victorious.
I think, based off what you just said, not necessarily the passage, I didn't think of this earlier, but there's this book that I love. If you've spent a lot of time around me, you probably have heard about it, but it's called Hinds Feet on High Places, and it's about this little girl named Much Afraid.
It's an old story, right?
It's an old tale.
Yeah, an allegory.
An allegory. What allegories do, y'all, is that they are stories about something like a little girl. It's kind of like a deer almost, but I don't know if she's a deer or a person. It's kind of, it's up for you to interpret.
Hind is the old word for deer. So hind's feet.
Yeah, I think she is a deer. I have the picture version of the story.
And sorry, and I had started talking. Her name again is?
Much Afraid. Mm-hmm. And Much Afraid, but yeah, an allegory, sorry, is a story that tells you a greater picture about God. So mm-hmm. it's a story about something, but really it's about reflection of us and God. So Hinds Feet and High Places, she's a little deer. Her name's Much Afraid, and she lives in the Valley of Fear and Trembling. But every day, she meets with the Good Shepherd of the water. And just to hear about what she should do that day, how she should serve him, what that looks like. And the Great Shepherd's like, hey, Much Afraid, I think you should come to High Places with me. She's like, no, I can never do that. I just can't. Like, I'm not, like, my face isn't beautiful enough for that. I have, like, kind of weird feet. Like, I can't really walk well. I can't be in high places. And, like, also, I'm much afraid. Like, no, I can't go to the high places.
That's my identity. That's literally my name. Yeah.
And so she starts this journey with the Great Shepherd. She ends up going. It's a whole thing. But she ends up going. And if you do want to read it, that's very early in the story. It will not spoil a ton for you. But she has to walk with pride at some point and has to walk with, like, all these things that she feels like they're awful things. She's like, great, Good Shepherd. Why am I walking with these things? This isn't helping me get to high places. I don't want to look at my pride. I want to be rid of it. Like, and it's a journey. She has to walk through the hard things to get to high places and has to trust the shepherd that she does, that he's really going to take care of her and get her to the high places. And so I think when you and Maurice were saying, like, God will get you through those things, whatever, it might feel really hard, though. Yeah. Like, the journey to a really beautiful place typically is really hard. And so I think back to that story. If you're looking for a book to read in Easter as we approach it, order Hinds Feet on High Places. I think it's a really beautiful story that will tell you a lot about God. But that's what comes to mind with me. Dave, do you have any closing thoughts on the passage?
Yeah, and I'll just throw another rec out there, too. It's an older album. It's from the 90s, from one of my favorite bands of all time.
Music.
Jars of Clay. Yeah. Their second album. It's one that I still go back to over and over again. And the album is called Much Afraid. And they have a song called Much Afraid on there. And the whole album is themed around this. And it's awesome. Like, they made some music that lasts. It's so great.
Nice.
But I just want to call out, I won't say much, but there has been a theme throughout this whole Lent podcast series that, I mean, we could have planned it this way, but guest after guest and reflection after reflection has been, man, we're going to go through some hard things and we need to be ready for it. And God calls us to that. And in our minds, we know that this is the case. If you have been part of any kind of production of some sort, if you are an athlete, if you are an academic, if you are into theater, like, you have had to commit yourself to hard things to get to a desired outcome. Like, that's just how life works. And those train us. Like, those are kind of fun because we're, like, signing up for it. But the reality is, guys, and this is hard, and I feel emotional even just saying this, there are going to be hard things that you don't sign up for.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
There are going to be hard things that you don't. And you might be in the midst of that right now. And I just feel called to say, like, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, whatever that thing is. Because, man, like, these disciples, they thought they knew what they were signing up for and following Jesus. And a lot, like, as they followed, like, I didn't necessarily sign up for this, but I trust this guy.
Yeah.
And just hope that if you find yourself in that moment or if you're in it now, that Jesus has done enough. I mean, when you hear Maurice's testimony and his story and the people around you, we can still trust. We're in something hard, but the Lord is with us, even though we may be much afraid that can be real. So that's what I think of.
Good word.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, Trinity Youth, as always, we leave you with a challenge at the end of our podcast. So I would challenge you to think of someone that you know going through something hard. Maybe they've shared that with you. Just to kind of pray for them today and even shoot them a text. Say, hey, like, I said a prayer for you today. I love you. I'm thinking of you. I got one of those from a good friend today, and man, the way it uplifts you.
That's awesome.
It's so beautiful. So think of someone you know who's going through something. Send them a text. Take time right after this podcast. Say a little prayer for them. And I think it's part of the ways we get to do life together is to remember to pray. So take that time today.
Amen. And y'all, we would love to pray for you. So again, if you find yourself, you're in the midst of it, send us a note, reach out to us, and we would love to be praying for you as well. We mean that. We love you. So, hey, Maurice, thanks so much for joining us on the pod.
Thanks
so
for having
good to
me.
Have you at the mic today.
Thank you.
Maurice, can you close us out today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Trinity Youth, you know we love you, and as always,
peace be with you.